say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein for another edition of Open Wide. We're pre-recording. We've been pre-recording, what, on Tuesdays?
Tuesdays is our day.
This week, though, it's been, you know, the last several weeks we've had really good weather when we've been recording. And it's cheerful and very nice and all this kind of stuff
rainy
today.
Rainy and gloomy.
I haven't seen the sun in 5 days.
Well, I know.
Do you know what it's called? We're in a weather pattern. It's called a wedge.
Really?
I think it's a wedge of air that comes off the Appalachian Mountains and sinks down into the valley that we're in, we're a little lower than that. And then I guess warm air goes over it, or the other way around. I don't remember. It stays. And it kind of sits there. So I've been advising my Amy and the kids that we're in a wedge weather pattern. So we've been calling it a wedgie lately because it's been around for so long.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I've got a wedgie here. Isn't that what we're talking about then?
Yeah.
All right.
But it is, you're going to hear that on the weather, whether you watch.
We're in a wedge.
They're going to call it a wedge.
Yeah.
Remember, I called it a wedgie.
Yeah, every time I hear that we're in a wedge, I'm going to think of that now.
Yes, you will.
Oh, my God.
So today we want to talk about giving back to the community. It's interesting, last week we were talking about managed care and the challenges. And I think, honestly, I think as a society, I think we're in big trouble because of things like managed care. Everything is getting, you know, the quality is a commodity. I think it's the term you used last week, Dr. Mm-hmm. Edelstein.
Yes, that's what they try to make it a commodity where every doctor and every dentist is the same quality, the same value proposition is what it's called in business terms.
All right. Now, you do a lot of work on people who are referred to you by other dentists.
Mm-hmm.
Also, maybe they weren't referred to you by another dentist, but they, on their own, they decide they want to seek
us.
A second opinion, mm-hmm. or they have problems with their gums and they know, well, that's usually taken care of by somebody who's called a periodontist, and somehow they happen upon you. So you often see, I mean, all the time, you see the results of other dentists' work.
We do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you see some where you say to yourself, wow, I think this has been substandard, the care that's been given. But is there also a situation where two competent periodontists, may see things a little bit differently and have a different opinion as to the course of treatment, how it should be done?
That's a very good question. And part
Sue,
of
Sue, do you think Jeff, that was a good...
That was a great
that's
question.
That's a great question.
Well, I thought it was. I just wanted your affirmation.
Past week or two, you've been coming up with great questions.
I know, some good ones.
And you've been telling me. You know?
Well, the gum doc will have good answers.
I hope so. there could be a difference of that. A professor of mine by the name of Mort Amsterdam at Penn said there's only one diagnosis, but there may be more than one treatment option available. It's not like medicine where if someone has, you know, an infected appendix, there's only one option. You remove it. Medicine is different in that way.
A little more cut and dried in that sense?
It may be a little more cut and dry. But in dentistry, there might be different treatment options to get to the same outcome, which is health. And it also depends upon the assessment and relationship that you have with a patient. For instance, if I see someone and they have gum disease, and it's a little old lady, 85 years old, I may be much more reluctant to recommend a surgical approach. Mm-hmm. And my approach may be much more conservative in that person. So there might be differences in that what different practitioners will recommend along the way as well. And they could be two good people.
You know, so there's a Jimmy Carter's got, you know, he's got cancer and it's metastasized and his mm-hmm. liver to
That's it.
His brain and other places like that. And of course, you know, the talking heads, you know, they had some docs come on and they differed on their opinion about how it should be handled. Even though none of them had seen his chart, I don't think. You know, one fellow said, well, he's 92 years old. And I don't think we should be so aggressive. Another one said, well, he's otherwise in good health. So, I mean, why not be aggressive? You know, you could So you could see that sometimes reasonable minds will differ.
Sure.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and sometimes, too, there's a difference because you may have a bit of technology in your office that someone else doesn't have. We have a periscope, so we can defer or have a different course of treatment because we do have that technology. You know, we're the only periodontist in the state of Georgia that has it and is using it. So right there, we may differ from another recommendation because we have access to something to offer our patients.
Isn't it wonderful technology?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, same thing in Jimmy Carter's scenario. You know, he may have a physician who has access to different drugs for cancer.
Or
cutting-edge drugs or experimental drugs.
Or a skill set.
Yeah.
And experience. Someone with the skill set and is accustomed to doing regenerative procedures around teeth may recommend saving teeth, like myself. Whereas someone newer in practice may recommend converting those teeth to implants more readily when they could be saved by someone else.
Mm. Let me ask you about the periscope a second, and we're going to talk about giving back,
sure.
I promise. Last week at the beginning of the show, we talked about Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Green Bay Packers. So this is a little bit more on point, I think, though. So the periscope is an expensive, I take it, it's an expensive piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very wonderful piece of equipment and a great advance in dentistry. Can you, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, can you make your money back on the periscope? I mean, if so, is it going to take a long time, or is that not a consideration when the more advanced periscope became available to you? What was your mindset?
Well, my initial mindset was that this could be a terrific tool in helping people in some situations get well non-surgically, and it has been. And there are a lot of cases where we have been able to achieve results that have been similar to a surgical approach, in some ways even better, because there's no downtime, there's no discomfort, et cetera. But the answer is yes, I think there should be a fee associated with it so that there could be a return on investment. That's very fair and reasonable. And I think that for any technology that is good technology that can give people a better outcome. For instance, I know that there are colleagues of mine that make digital impressions. Well, that's an expensive piece of equipment. So they don't have to have a gooey impression of someone, they don't have to make
biting
a
gooey, into
a gooey mold. And that is new technology. It's very good technology, and there are some people that use this technology beautifully and make beautiful restorations. And there should be a return on investment. That's fair and equitable for everyone.
All right, well, one of the reasons I'm asking this is because you have a new patient schedule special.
Yes.
We've talked about this in the past. It's $129, which today that is nothing.
It is
in
nothing.
In today's dollars, yes. And cents. You know, I'm going to get my car serviced tomorrow. It's going to cost me over $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the car, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just my,
you and me both.
It's just a checkup.
Yeah. It's my 7,500 mile, every 7,500 mile. And I know these people and I trust them, but I mean, things are expensive today.
Mm-hmm.
Their equipment's expensive. They have a lot of overhead, et cetera, et cetera. If I went to the car repair place, and they said it's $129, I'd be jumping for joy. I can't believe how cheap I get out of there for $129. So maybe you can speak to this, Sue or Dr. Edelstein, this new patient special of $129, because certainly the services that the patient is going to get from this are going to far exceed $129 worth.
It could be over $600 once we do x-rays, a CAT scan, which may be indicated if there are implants involved, digital photographs, a bacterial sample using a phase contrast microscope. So it could be over.
You just pointed to me when you said that.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, if you didn't say that, the listeners wouldn't have known.
Listen, Sue showed it to me on the monitor.
Yes.
And boy, I'll tell you what, I said, get me back in the chair. Let me.
It's an eye opener, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. What was it? What would we call it? A terrarium?
A terrarium.
Oh, yes. Lovely.
So what we decided about a little less than a year ago is that the consultation itself was a barrier for people seeking care and treatment and finding out what they needed. So we decided to eliminate that so people can get a second opinion for a very reasonable cost. They can get a first opinion for a very reasonable cost, and they really get a tremendous value from this.
Is there anything wrong with a person coming to you for a second opinion.
Oh, no.
No.
But some people feel like somehow that's sort of disloyal to their dentist.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, not at all.
I think
that wasn't a good question.
Actually, are you feeling a little insecure today? You need us to confirm that it's a good question every time?
Well, this is a very deep psychological question you're asking. we'll devote this to another show.
Yes.
See, my mother, when I was... No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, no, no. As a matter of fact...
You know something? I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people want to do that, but they don't... Somehow they feel like it's wrong to...
I think it's a good thing.
I got to tell you, there have been a few patients that I saw for second opinions, and I told them, you got good advice. You're going to a good guy. You got good advice.
Well, wasn't it worth it to them to hear you say that?
Yes. On the other side of the coin, I had someone come for a second opinion. I had all patients that I saw previously, 5, 6, maybe even 7 years ago, came for a second opinion from Charlotte because they weren't sure about what was recommended, and they came for a second opinion. And
down to Atlanta where the big boys are, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were very grateful, and they needed another direction in their care. So a second opinion could be very valuable, and we encourage that.
How do you feel if somebody comes to you, you tell them this is the course of treatment that I recommend, mm-hmm. and they say, look, I want to go get a second opinion somewhere?
I encourage it.
It doesn't bother you? You
no.
Don't, your nose doesn't get bent out of joint?
We normally tell them if you have any questions or concerns, because there may be some differences, as we just talked about in the last segment, I believe, there may be some differences, and both options may be appropriate. You're more than welcome to come back for a complimentary follow-up consult.
Yeah.
And we'll help you in deciding what's best for you.
If they say they want to get a second opinion somewhere else,
yeah.
Can they... Are you okay if they pick the person that they want to get the second opinion?
Oh,
from?
Sure. Yeah,
instead
fine.
Of somebody that you recommend. Again, people sometimes have these sinister ideas. You
yeah,
know,
but we will give them some input. If they want the value of a second opinion, you need to compare apples to apples. Go see a periodontist who has about the same skill set and experience as Dr. Edelstein. You may not want to go to a periodontist on a managed care list because their opinion is going to be built into the insurance discount contract. Compare apples to apples. Pick like-minded periodontist if you want a true second opinion. Be smart about who you choose.
And I hate to put you on the spot, but I mean, are the really good, well, we'll say periodontists, we'll take that particular specialty, are they few and far between the really good ones? I mean, we're in a big city, Atlanta. You know, I think of it as being, you know, we've got top professionals in this town in many areas, you know.
It's like anything. I mean, there are some excellent and some not so excellent and some mediocre. I mean, it's like any profession will have across the board people.
Yeah.
You know, you made the comment, actually, it wasn't on our show. It was with Mike Stark. You or Mike made the comment that you wouldn't want to go to a doctor at the bottom of their class mm-hmm. in medical school.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would say, yeah. I'm serious.
I think it was both of you, actually.
Okay.
Because I do like that show a lot. But I think I've listened to all 30 of them. But that's a whole other story. But at any rate, so there are people across the board, top of the class, middle of the class, bottom of the class. And I think that's
right, you know, the question I'm going to ask you now.
Sure.
So where were you on the spectrum there?
Where would you guess?
Probably at the top, knowing you.
I was pretty close to the top.
You went to Cornell. Went to Emory. You did advanced training at Penn, University of Pennsylvania. It was one of the finest institutions in the country.
Thank you. I feel quite privileged that I was able to go to those places. And, you know, I think I mentioned that my father passed away when I was young, and mm-hmm. he left me with just enough resources, with some additional loans that I took out, so I could pick and choose the best places without being encumbered by the cost.
Would you be nearly as good a dentist today if you hadn't had that advanced training after dental school?
I'd say going to Penn for my postdoctoral program was a true privilege. That was where the textbook was written. That's where some of the greats not only taught, but were trained.
Wow.
And the environment that was there was, it was a unique environment in the country. It was the top one of the top two or three programs in the country back then when I went. And it was just such a privilege to be able to go to this place where the teachers were taught.
You know, my wife and I are from Philly. You know that. And many years ago, when we were still living in Philly, before we moved down here 29 years ago, my wife had to have surgery. And we started shopping around for a doctor to do the surgery and a hospital to go to. There was no question we were going to Penn. You know, and people who aren't from Philadelphia don't know what I'm talking about, but you got a lot of hospitals in Philadelphia, but when you're talking about the very, very best, you're talking about the University of Pennsylvania, I believe.
It was a fabulous place.
All right. We have to take a break. The subject of today's show is giving back, and we're going to talk about some areas in which you and your practice, Dr. Edelstein, give back to the community. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, office located at 2045 Peachtree Road in Buckhead, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. I have to mention once per show, Sue.
The
next to the Darlington.
Yes. The newly remodeled Darlington, by the
really?
Way. Yes. All remodeled on the inside.
I don't think I knew that.
Very lovely.
It isn't on the outside.
But, yeah, I know.
But it is on the inside. All right. And want to remind our audience before we go to the break, October 8th and November 12th, we have a free evening lecture, free of charge, about dental implants, everything you ever wanted to know about implants. It's at Brio. It's free, 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to have heavy hors d'oeuvres,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the Peach Shopping Center, and it's an excellent opportunity. I'm going to be there at this next one, Dr. Edelstein and Sue Skipper.
We just want people to be able to eat the foods that they love and live the life they deserve.
Okay, well said. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, Dr. Edelstein, I think the last thing you said before the break was something about you want people to be able to eat the foods they want to eat. What was the term?
To be able to eat the foods that they love and live the life they deserve.
Mm.
Yes.
You know, people who, like me, can basically eat anything I want. I don't think I've ever not eaten something because I'm worried.
Couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, really. Do I look like I've missed a lot of meals? You know? Okay. But there's a lot of people, you know, so those of us who've never been there probably don't understand.
Yes.
But if you've been there, because you've seen hundreds of them, thousands maybe in your career.
Yes, of course.
People, they can't eat like the rest of us.
Right. Yes, it's really
life is very different for them.
It's tragic. Do you know that the Mayo Clinic, they did a study, and people that have a full complement of teeth live on average 10 years longer than people that don't.
It's pretty outstanding.
10 years longer.
That's amazing.
That's an outstanding
stat. I can believe it too. Because aren't we learning more and more though?
Yes.
The relationship between the health of the mouth and the health of the rest of the
absolutely.
Mouth. Longevity.
Absolutely. If and to look at it another way, if you go to years ago, there was a website called reallife.com. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it still exists. I did it myself. And if the difference between flossing and not flossing, I think, is 4.5 years of lifespan.
Wow. You know, you told me next time. I have an appointment at your office, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on October 6th, I think it is, 7th, something like that. I've got it. It's at 4 in the afternoon. You send me reminders, too, which is very nice.
Right.
Because, you know, we're busy. But I've got it down here in my iPhone. And you said next time I want my people to teach you how to floss properly.
Because mm-hmm.
you're not flossing properly.
Correct.
You know. Didn't we say, Sue, look, you're a veteran hygienist, if you don't mind me using that term.
Nope.
And the people, they not only do they know how to floss properly, and you're
most people don't.
They don't. And so some of them may be religious about it, but they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's one of those things, unfortunately, that unless it's done correctly, it has to be done correctly to be effective. It can be tedious. Once you learn how to do it, great. You can be fast and efficient. It doesn't take me long to floss my teeth, but your aim has got to be deadly. You got to disrupt a specific area of plaque below the gum line. And if you're flossing just to flick out the food, the popcorn hull, the oatmeal, the granola, you're missing the point. So we really do try to spend time with our patients in showing them how to do it.
You know, years ago I was at the gym and I was next to this guy who was lifting weights. Guy was chiseled. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe this guy. This guy was really cut. And he was a middle-aged guy. He wasn't a young kid.
That was me.
Yeah. Was that you? What happened? I said it was a no, I'm just kidding.
Hey, touche, right?
I said to him, I said, what's your secret? How do you do this? And he said to me, I got one piece of advice for you. He says, there's a lot you need to know in order to do it properly. He says, but learn what you need to do. He says, because for 7 years, he says, I wasted 7 years, he said. I was lifting like crazy and I was working my tail off, but I was doing all the wrong things because I hadn't gotten the correct advice. You know, I didn't research it properly first.
Right.
And I wasted a whole bunch of time. And this sounds
form
like the same thing.
Form is everything.
Exactly the same.
Form.
And you'd be surprised how many offices don't put the time aside to show patients exactly the right way.
You know, I've never had anybody. I don't think I ever have.
No, it doesn't surprise me. We hear that every day.
Now, do people, I think we've talked about this too, Sue. They lie about the amount of flossing they do.
Yes.
And you can see right through it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's red.
Is it even worth
gums.
It to ask them? Like,
well, yeah, we should ask. And, yeah. You know, yeah. We should begin that dialogue. And if they do, you know what? But truthfully, if they do say to me, and they're earnest, and I believe them, Sue, I do it every day. Why isn't it showing? And the next thing I say, well, why don't we review how you're doing it, and let me show you what you're trying to clean. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I have not been doing that.
How about when they say, I do it every day, but I have a friend who only does it when there's, what'd you say before, popcorn?
I would say, well, why don't you tell your friend?
You know who the friend is, folks. All right, let me ask you this, folks. So this is a very cool little invitation that you actually sent me about one of your upcoming seminars. Your next seminar is November 12th. At 6 o'clock at Brio, by the way. Go to mygumdoc.com, folks, to register. It's free, but you got to register.
Mm-hmm.
The hors d'oeuvres are wonderful. More importantly, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a lot at this seminar about implants from Dr. Edelstein. But it says here, now there's a picture of the Mona Lisa.
Yes.
Or, do you call it Mona Lisa or the Mona Lisa?
I'm not sure.
You know, I guess there was a woman Mona Lisa, you know.
Yeah.
So here she is.
It's probably the.
The Mona Lisa. Okay, so here she is. And very famous, you know, the very famous picture, folks. And it says here, imagine what her smile would have been like if she had implants. Well, that's very funny. But also you said that, you mentioned this to me during the break, you can tell from looking at her, she doesn't have any teeth.
Yes. I was driving down North...
Mona Lisa?
I was driving down Northside Drive with my son, and I was at a red light, I think at 17th or so, and there's this big billboard of Mona Lisa. And I looked... And the tagline was a little different. It was something, it was one of these Goodwill things. It was smile, it's contagious. And I looked and I pointed at the Mona Lisa on the billboard and I turned to my 15-year-old son. I said, she doesn't have any teeth. Look at the way she's smiling. She the way her lips are thin and she's overclosed. She doesn't have any teeth.
Wow.
That's why she's not smiling.
And people... You know, because I'm laughing because it's the most famous painting in the world.
Yes.
You know, and usually what people say is, well, she's very lovely looking kind of, or at least pleasant looking.
Sure, she is.
You know, she's not a swimsuit edition of
Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated, yeah. But she's very pleasant and it's a great painting and all this kind of stuff. But people don't realize she doesn't have any teeth.
The minute I saw this billboard, I realized that. I kind of knew that all along, but it just dawned on me. It was like a paradigm shift. I looked at this famous painting, and she does not have teeth, which is why you don't see any teeth in her portrait. Mm.
Do we? If a person's missing a bunch of teeth, let's say, so it's hard for them to eat. They can't bite into an apple or things.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes.
Maybe they can, but they start relying on the teeth that they do have, which may be less than a majority of the teeth that you normally have.
Yes. Correct.
Okay,
or maybe front teeth, not back teeth, which are not really meant to chew down food.
Okay, so maybe they've got 8 decent teeth out of 32 or whatever it is.
Yes.
Now, does that put undue stress on the teeth that
Absolutely.
They do have?
Absolutely does. It puts extra force on the teeth that they do have, and it makes them more vulnerable to periodontal disease and other problems associated with tooth loss.
So we're made to have 32 teeth or 28 anyway, you know, if we,
yeah, you typically,
32 minus the
minus the wisdom teeth.
I think our jaw structures have gotten smaller over the ages, and most people don't have room for the wisdom teeth. So 28 teeth.
And that's what we're made to have, basically,
yes.
Though. Not eight.
No.
We're not made to eat with eight teeth.
No. The chewing efficiency goes down. The jaw joint starts breaking down and with arthritis and various problems with the ligaments associated with the jaw joint. The remaining teeth may start flaring or bulging.
Mm-hmm.
See the typical English person that you meet, and they have flared teeth in the front. Typically, that's...
really?
Yeah, yeah.
The English?
Well, they have the National Health Service. They have managed care in, mm-hmm. in dentistry and have had since 1948, and they typically have flared teeth in the front.
That's interesting because both my sons-in-law are English.
They're missing back teeth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Both my sons-in-law are English.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And their families, you know, they're all English, you know. I mean, I got other problems with them, but their teeth seem to be... I'm just kidding. Just kidding, guys. And I have the two best sons-in-law person could ever ask for, I promise you. Mm-hmm. They're both great guys. So we have a seminar coming up, you know. And usually I just kind of allude to it and mention it quickly. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the seminar because, well, the seminar... is about dental implants.
Sure.
It's a wonderful innovation in dentistry.
Oh my God, it was game-changing. Complete, this was not available on a routine basis 35 years ago, and this has completely changed the state of the art in dentistry.
Where were you in your career?
I was in my perio residency, my postdoctoral program at Penn, and there was one three-hour lecture on implants, and that was it. And since then, I've probably taken, thousands and thousands of hours of continuing ed because it has taken the place of bridges. It's taken the place of dentures that come out at night. And if someone needs something like that, implants could be used to lock them in.
The advanced education that you have,
yes.
the thousands of hours,
yes.
Is that required by law? Do dentists need to have X number of hours
yes,
every year?
Yes, that's a good question. There's a minimum amount of hours. It's 40 hours every 2 years.
So that's not in the thousands?
No.
So you've taken way beyond.
Yeah, I will usually triple what's required on a yearly basis.
Are there some who take only the minimum and they
yes.
they're
mm-hmm.
just...
Of course.
You know, I know sometimes the attitude, look, I don't need to know this stuff. I've been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah, but there's new stuff all the time. There's new things, there's new techniques, there's new instruments all the time. It would be rare that I don't go to a course and I don't pick up at least a couple of just terrific pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't come back to the office energized about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to say something on the air that I said to you during the break, if you don't mind. And that is that, you know, it wasn't until I was pretty advanced in age that I really understood. And this radio show has had a lot to do with it, by the way, so that's fairly recent. But I really understood... not only the importance of the mouth to the overall health, but also I want to turn it around and say how deleterious it can be to your health if you're not taking good care of your teeth,
mouth.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
People mm-hmm. don't know that. I'm telling you. You know,
Heart disease, stroke.
You're within the profession. I'm outside the profession. I can see the forest for the trees in a certain way that perhaps you can't because you're inside the profession. People don't know this.
Diabetes. I mean, that's one of the strongest links we have, linking diabetes and periodontal disease. People with periodontal disease are at much greater risk of becoming diabetic, and if they are diabetic, they're at much greater risk of having their glycemic control be much worse if they have periodontal disease. Preterm delivery of babies. If a woman who's becomes pregnant and has periodontal disease, she's seven times higher risk of having a preterm delivery, and with God knows what problems go along with that.
Yeah.
So
Alzheimer's is one of our strongest links. That's been proven.
Yeah.
Or shown.
And some other things too. I can't remember offhand what they are, but they're
ED.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
Okay. Can I get into your office this afternoon? Just kidding. Just kidding, folks. But that's true, isn't it?
There actually is a Turkish study that does show that. It's not doesn't have a lot of people in it, but it's kind of preliminary. It's not real strong evidence, but there is a Turkish study. So,
doesn't it seem to make sense though? All these things that we're talking about, the diabetes,
yes, it does.
Yes, Alzheimer's.
You see the bacteria under the gum the way we showed you at one point in time, and you see what's the terrarium that's growing under there, and those organisms are getting into the bloodstream. Their toxins, their byproducts are getting into the bloodstream. The body is mounting an inflammatory reaction to those to the organisms and their products, and it just makes sense that it's going to have effects in the rest of the body that are profound, actually.
And I've asked you this before, but I'd like to ask it again. Not everybody who hears not everybody listens every minute of every show. Sorry to tell you
sure.
this. What age do you start seeing periodontal disease? The earliest signs of it. I mean, can you see it in somebody in their as early as their 20s, let's say?
Yeah. We say teenagers with some forms of periodontal disease, and even younger than that. The CDC study that's been a recent landmark study has shown that people over age 35, 50% of the population has some form of periodontal disease. 50%.
Now, wouldn't it be certain dentists who, the patient's 25 years old, so the doctor says, well, you don't need to see a perio just yet. You know, you're too young for that. You don't get periodontal disease at 25. You know, my wife knew a lady who was 34 years old. She had breast cancer. So she had a lump or something. You know, she went to her doctor. I think it was just her GP. And she, you know, showed the doctor the lump. And the doctor said, don't worry about it. You're 34 years old. 34-year-olds don't get breast cancer. Well, guess what? She had breast cancer.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Is it exact same thing.
Or sometimes dentists say to the patient, well, look, you're too young for this. Don't worry about it.
We just had a girl yesterday.
How about we'll just watch it?
We'll just watch it.
We hear that all the time. We'll just watch it.
You know, and I mentioned, this is something I mentioned to you because you told me about this before. I mentioned this during one of the other breaks. When they say we'll just watch it, we want to think that it's because, well, the dentist is looking out for the patient's best interests and finances and things like that for the patient, try to keep the cost down for them, things like that. Sometimes, though, there's a more sinister motive, is there not, when we're getting into managed care and so on?
There could be. I mean, they could just watch it get worse. That's what's happening. They could be watching a disease process.
Which in the long run doesn't save them money. If the motive was to be conservative and have the patient only let go of their finances if they really, really need it, in the long run, when a case is presented in an advanced stage, it will cost the patient more money to save that tooth with a less predictable result. That's the sad part of it.
Yeah, you know, I liken it to the you know, the little crack in your windshield.
Yeah.
It's not going to get smaller.
You're exactly
not
right.
Only is
and
it
it's not going to reverse.
Yeah. It's not going to stay where
it is.
And it's going to get smaller,
itself.
You know. And then, you know, so people, it starts to get a little bigger and people delude themselves into thinking it's no bigger. It is bigger. If you take a picture of it now and then a picture of it next week,
yeah,
it's bigger.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know? All right. We have to take a break. And I'm sorry to digress so much. I've just got a million questions here. We always have this happen, but I'm going to get back on point. We're going to talk about giving back to the community in just a moment. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And by the way, folks, this new patient special, $129, comprehensive exam, and any necessary diagnostic materials, including but not limited to digital x-rays, diagnostic photographs, comprehensive exam charting, and even an oral CT scan, if necessary, for $129. Wow. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. And we'll be back with more of Open Wide in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, so I brought up the example before, Dr. Edelstein and Sue. You know, somebody like me, when you get to a certain age and you start learning more and more how important oral health is to your general health.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you read something in the paper, you know, every month, if not every week, about some new finding that the researchers have found that links all these things. You know, a lot of the diseases that we get, we think just happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't see any kind of causal relationship, and now we're starting to find one. And this is so true, I think, with the condition of the mouth.
I do, too.
Do you find that when you get people in their 50s and 60s, now they're starting to get very concerned and very worried?
Yes.
Yeah. Not just about keeping their teeth versus losing them, but you
just
know,
about their general
have I messed myself
well-being.
Up?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have I neglected it? Is it reversible? Am I going to be okay? You know?
Right.
How much, what did you say, 10 years on average?
Yes.
People who just flossing.
Yes. People have a full complement of teeth, on average, will live 10 years longer.
Hmm.
I think when we were at a previous show with you, Jeff, you coined the term, the mouth may be ground zero of your health.
Yes, I did.
You did. And we love that.
You said it was very
that.
Good.
No, it was very, very inspiring, because the next day I went into Dr. Edelstein's office and I said, you know what I think we're going to find out? In the turn of the century, there was a high mortality rate for women giving birth. And there was a very brilliant doctor who started realizing that if he just washed his hands between deliveries, maybe that may make a difference. And the mortality rate decreased drastically. So that was at the turn of the century. In the 80s, we just started to wear gloves. We think we're so sophisticated, but in the 80s, we really started strapping on our gloves. Before then, we didn't wear gloves.
Isn't that amazing? Only 30 years ago?
It's amazing.
Yes.
And we just put the wheel on the suitcase in the 70s. We've had the wheel forever, and we've had the suitcase forever, but the wheel went on the suitcase in the 70s. We like to think we're so advanced and sophisticated, but sometimes the easiest, most common sense thing is staring us in the face. And I do think with gum disease, we are staring the most commonsensical thing in the face.
Wow.
It is ground zero. We are having research to come out and prove it. And I really wouldn't be surprised if 30 or 40 years from now, it became imperative that people see a periodontist, that the medical community is going to get more and more and more aggressive with it being part of their baseline tests.
I'll take it a step further. I'd be shocked if 20 or 25 years from now, periodontal disease wasn't one of the listed risk factors for heart disease.
Yeah, I think we're almost
They
I think
share
we're
inflammatory
there.
Pathways and their correlations. We just don't know the exact mechanisms involved.
Right.
Now, Sue said a moment ago that you know, it wasn't until the 80s that we started wearing gloves
in
these dental procedures. I wonder if the advent of AIDS had something to do with that. You were practicing dentist at that time, I believe.
I was.
Were you? If I was a dentist at that time, I think I'd have been very concerned. I mean, among other things, I was just being honest about contracting AIDS.
Yes.
Based on the intimate relationship you have with your patients, you know, your hands are in their mouth.
I remember I went to Penn in 83, finished in 84, 85, I guess, and I came back and taught part-time at the dental school at Emory. And at Penn, there was a very proactive dean, and you wore gloves at Penn, okay, for patient. And if you're in a patient's mouth, you're wearing gloves. I came back to Emory, and I was teaching on the clinic floor, the dental students, and they looked at me like I was some sort of weird person because I wanted to wear gloves.
Wow.
And I remember they dispensed one pair of gloves for the morning that I have to wash between patients, and they dispensed another pair of gloves for the afternoon session and I have to wash between patients, the gloves.
But you still wear the same gloves.
Same gloves. Just rinsed them off and washed them real good.
And this is Emory.
At Emory.
I mean, this is a very advanced.
This was in 85, and then on to the next patient. And they looked at me like I must have had some sort of skin condition, because I'm the only one out of, you know, 125 people, including professors and dental students, that had gloves.
Which is now standard operating procedure.
I can't even clean my mother's teeth without gloves. I don't want this saliva on my fingertips, but I did for years.
That's your mother.
I wear gloves to examine Amy, my wife.
Yeah.
She makes fun of me for doing it, but you know,
You're used to it.
I couldn't do it without. It would feel strange without.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting, you know, because husband and wife, you know, there's a lot of intimacy, a lot of... But when it comes to the mouth, you know, I'm putting my gloves on.
Yeah,
there you go.
I got to tell you, I don't like saliva.
I don't either. I'm serious.
It freaks me out. I'm a dentist.
Me too.
I
think it's disgusting. You know. No, I agree. We got to talk about that one.
I know.
What are you doing tonight? Let's go get a beer and talk about saliva.
Maybe that'll be another show.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about today about giving back to the community. And you do a lot to give back to the community, Dr. Edelstein. Look, I've known doctors and dentists. I've known people in the radio business, a lot of businesses. They do nothing. They'll do anything for anybody. You give a lot back to the community, and one of your pet, pardon the pun.
Forgive the pun.
is the Canine Assistance for the American Cancer Society. Maybe you want to tell us about...
Yeah, well, actually, this is our charitable assistance. Giving campaign. And any patient of ours can refer a family or friend, family member or friend or acquaintance, and for a $50 tax-deductible charitable donation to one of our designated charities, which right now include the American Cancer Society, Canine Assistance, where they train assistant animals, the Zabin Couples Center, and the Susan G. Coleman organization. A $50 tax-deductible donation to any of these 501c charities, we will completely donate our new patient exam. So it's over $600 that we'll do for nothing but a charitable donation to one of these charities.
And people,
and we'll get nothing.
Everybody wins.
And by the way, these are four charities that nobody can argue with. You know,
no.
Not, so, you know, there's
They're
some
great.
Charities that are like, you know, I remember Lady Bird Johnson, her big charity was highway beautification. I'm thinking, you got people starving to death.
Yeah.
In Africa, her big thing is highway beautification. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No,
but
I know.
I got to say, I mean, some's better than others, you know?
Sure, yeah.
These American Cancer Society, Susan G. Komen for the cure, Zabin Couples Center, Canine Assistance. I will say, though, look, I mean, you know, we are the masters of the universe, we people, okay? So animals are somewhere below us, but people love their dogs.
It's the charity we've raised the most money for.
Is it?
We have.
It's our
yeah.
number one favorite charity.
Wow.
We have two golden doodles, and we've fallen in love with them. So we actually went to the Canine Assistant facility in Alpharetta, and they do a terrific job training mostly golden doodles, but other Labradors and golden retrievers as
Are
well.
Are they not too. Like members of the family?
Honestly, Jeff, I don't know how people do it. People take these animals home and train them. They have classes, and they also take them home. They have volunteers take them. Actually, we have a patient.
Yeah, she's doing.
Who brings a dog and an mm-hmm. assistant training, an assistant dog that she's training into the office. And she has the dog for about a year, trains it to help someone who's disabled somehow, and then she gives it up. I don't know how she does it. I couldn't give them up.
Yeah.
Our dogs are part of the family, but I give these folks credit. They do a wonderful job.
All right, we have to take a break. We only have a few minutes left in the last break, but I do want to talk some more about giving back to the community, and particularly these four charities: American Cancer Society, Susan G. Komen for the cure, Zabin Couples Center, and Canine Assistance. And I think all four of them are one. I happen to be familiar with all four of them, so we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Dr. Edelstein's office is at 2045 Peachtree Road in Buckhead, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking available. And by the way, again, the evening lecture coming up November 12th. That's a Thursday night, 6 o'clock at Brio, about dental implants in the Peach Shopping Center. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Didn't the time go fast?
Oh, it zooms by.
It always does.
Zooms by, mm-hmm. I got to tell you. So you do a lot of giving back to the community, Dr. Edelstein. You know, one of the things you do is these lectures, they're free lectures, and it's a significant cost to you. It's a Brio, which is a wonderful restaurant, but I know it ain't cheap either.
Terrific restaurant. It's the least I can do to help someone getting information on how to completely change their lives.
All right. Now, if somebody comes to your lecture and all they have to do is go register at mygumdoc.com.
Yes.
It's free.
Yes.
Okay. And you impart this knowledge of yours to them. And for one reason or another, they don't become your patient. They might even
That's
go
fine.
To another doctor to have
mm-hmm.
it done.
Good for them.
You
That's
don't mind.
Great. No, no. We do this as a public service to the community. And if they come to us, great. If they choose the implants aren't for them, great. But we've empowered them with information. If they go somewhere else, that's fine.
Mm. And that's something. Well, that is great. And again, also, this referral program that you have. You refer a friend, we see them for a $50 charitable donation to any of these four charities: American Cancer Society, Susan G. Komen for the Cure, Zabin Couples Center, and my personal favorite, Canine Assistance, I think it's. Well, American Cancer Society, that's pretty hard to argue with, too, you know.
Yeah, Susan they're G. all Komen. Good charities.
They're all very good, but you know something? Look, I've known couples. Have you ever known a couple that get divorced, and they don't have any children, but there's a custody battle over the dog?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they will fight tooth and nail for mm-hmm. that dog. I mean, they'll spend every dime they've got. They'll take it to the U.S. Supreme Court for the dog. So we know people love their pets. So, and Canine Assistance is such a wonderful.
Oh, they're great people.
Wonderful, wonderful charity. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein from the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, folks. Plenty of free parking. And don't forget about Dr. Edelstein's new patient special. $129 for $650 worth of services. It's a great offer for you. Take advantage of it. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. Sue and Dr. Edelstein, thanks again as always.
And thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.